and the proud. Come to me now. The same love that set the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. He is calling you all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide. The same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. We want to adore you here this morning, Lord. Can we just lift our hands up to him, Lord? God, this morning we honestly want to thank you for what you've done for us, Jesus. We want to thank you, oh God. Lord, the good news of the gospel is not just some story, but Lord, that you came as man, God on earth, and you died on a cross for us. You gave your life for us, Jesus. And this morning, Lord God, we are in awe of the fact that and to believe in that has saved us and has rescued us from any of the trouble and any of the rubbish to come. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you are a God who saves. You are a God who heals. And this morning we want to give you praise and we want to give you adoration and we want to give you our hearts and we want to lift ourselves to you this morning, Lord. Those that don't know you will not praise you, but Lord God, if we who know you will not praise you, maybe the rocks will cry out. But Jesus, this morning we want to give you our adoration. We want to give you our praise and we want to give you ourselves as living sacrifices that are pleasing in your sight, O God. We turn our eyes upon you this morning, Jesus. Let your presence come, Jesus. We long for you more than anything else, O God. There's a love relationship here, Lord. You and your people, Jesus, your people and you. We love you, King Jesus.
These broken pieces, broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole, empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free. I've been set free. You set us free, Lord. You set us free.
We love you, Lord. We love you, God. You are everything to us.
These holy pieces, broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free, I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel. The world to see your life is me. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like.
The love in your eyes, laying yourself down. Nothing is going to hold me back. And I often think of the conversation that Jesus must have had with the Father when we sinned. And the Father was saying, there's something that we got to do. And Jesus says, I know. And I'm willing to do it. Nothing is going to hold me back. But son, it's going to cost you your life. I don't care. I'm willing to pay that price. I'm willing to pay whatever it costs. Nothing is going to hold me back from doing what I know I have to do. Nothing is going to hold me back from laying my life down. I'm free in this decision, and I'm saying nothing is going to hold me back. The Bible says, for the joy set before Him, Jesus Christ, for the joy set before Jesus, He endured the cross. He was able to endure the cross because he saw beyond that. He saw me and you. Precious in His sight. Beautiful. Worth dying for. Worth paying that price. Nothing is going to hold me back. He endured that cross because of the love that He has for us. He was free in His decision. And He came freely and He died for us. And this morning when we understand that, this morning when we understand the freedom that He laid His life down for us, how do we respond? What is holding us back? What do we see that causes us to endure? Church, I want to put it to us this. If we do not see Jesus Christ as being beautiful, as being worth every bit of our lives, things will hold us back. But the minute we see His beauty, the minute we see, it says, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The minute we see His goodness and His kindness, we are willing to leave everything behind and go and pursue hard after Him. Nothing will hold us back. And I just get a sense this morning, it's like, Jesus, we've been singing these songs of freedom. Our chains have been broken. We have been set free. But it's almost like that we're in a cage, but the cage door has been opened. Jesus Christ has paid the price. Our prison doors are open, but so often we remain institutionalized for some reason or other. Something is holding us back. Something is holding us. Even though we have been set free, we are not pursuing Him. We're not walking into our freedom. This morning I want to say, Jesus has set you free. Before us this morning is the table of remembrance, His blood and His body. This is what Jesus set us free to come to Him. To come to Him. So this morning, I want us just to rest in that knowledge. Jesus Christ has set us free. He loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son. How are we responding this morning? I want us to respond like this. I want you to come if you feel, Lord, I want to pursue You with everything that I have. You've laid before me a table even in the presence of my enemies, even in my hard circumstance. I'm not going to give up. Nothing is going to hold me back from coming after You. And if that is you this morning, I want you to come out of your seats. It's almost like a gesture. I have been set free. In the Spirit, I'm walking out and I'm coming towards Christ. I'm coming to all the goodness that He's given me, all that He died for me, I'm wanting to grasp onto because it is good. So I want to invite you to come forward. Come forward and partake of what Jesus Christ has set us free for. It says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Amen. Come and partake. You've received, I want you to just take and then go back to your seats. Lord, You said as we partake of this, do it in remembrance of Me. Remember what I did for You. Do it in remembrance of Me. And Father, we thank You, Father, for Your Son that You gave to us. That His body was broken so that we might become whole. We thank You, Father, that Jesus' body was broken. It was like the curtain temple. The curtain in the temple was ripped in two from top to bottom. Like Your body was ripped for us, Lord, broken, so that there was no barrier between us and You anymore. Father, we remember that. We remember Your blood that was poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sin. Lord, we are grateful for that. In Jesus' name. Just want Njomba to come and share a word.
Morning, church. I just got a sense when I walked in here that there's a lot of people that have just, they've been disappointed time and time and time again. There's just been hurt after hurt after hurt. And maybe they even harbor unforgiveness for certain things in their hearts. And I just felt like the Lord was saying that He wants to set you free today. And that you need to be fully persuaded that there is nothing, nothing that can separate you from His love. And that is what is going to bring you through every trial that you face.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see You now. I can see the love in Your eyes, laying Yourself down, raising up a broken to life. Your love breaks my fall. The scandal of grace, You died in my place, so my soul will live.
Grace, what have You done, Lord?
Grace, what have You done? Murdered for me on that cross. Accused in absence of wrong, my sin washed away in Your blood. Too much to make sense of it all. I burn the hope in my heart. But to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside me. Forever the hope in my heart. Your sting, your power is as dead as my sin. The cross has taught me to live. In mercy, my heart learns to sing. The day and its troubles shall come, but I know that your strength is enough. Scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, I give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you. Forever hope in my heart. Just to know you, Jesus, there's no one beside you. Forever my hope is now.
Jesus, just tell him you love him. This is the time for us to worship him. Thank you, Lord, for that blood that was shed. You're alive, Lord. You heal today. We want to follow you, King. Two things, Jesus says, and we've heard it clearly this morning. Two things. I love you. I died for you. You are forgiven. Those are the words on the cross. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. You are forgiven. The next thing he says after that, because in the light of that, there's a strong call. Now come, follow me. You are forgiven. Now come and follow me. Dwell upon that. And I want the deacons, please, if you can pass around the tithes and the offerings. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your forgiveness, that the debt of our sin was wiped away. Free from that. We have been set free from that. We are forgiven. Church, you are forgiven. Free. Now come and follow me.
Come and follow me with all that you have. Follow hard after me. Nothing is holding us back. Lord, we thank you. What a time of worship, church. What an absolute beautiful time of worship. Amen. Thanks, Brad.
Good. Hello, everybody. Are you all well? Wow, man. Who loves worshiping Jesus here? I mean, honestly, with everything inside, I love worshiping Jesus. I love singing His praises, you know. And it's not just something I do or something we do, right? It's from the very depth of my heart, there's no other response but worship. I mean, what can we give God in response for His goodness towards us? Hello? So, God wants to do some amazing things in every one of our lives. Jesus loves people. Jesus wants to save people. You are a treasure in God's sight. I don't know how many times you think about it that way, but without being proud, you can honestly stand before God and know this, that God loves you. And God sees you as the apple of His eye, and that He is absolutely besotted with you. Now, obviously, there's some things that can get in the way of that, like sin and all this kind of stuff, that God didn't want to be the main thing every time He sees you. So that's why He sends Jesus to the cross to die for us, and He pours out His blood to cleanse us of all the stuff, so that He can have us. Isn't that amazing? And sometimes we're so aware of all the stuff that's covering our lives, all the stuff that we don't want anyone to see, and all the things that we're trying to kind of hide away. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, they try to cover themselves with fig leaves. And they, you know, when God was looking for them, and He knew that they'd sinned. You know, God knows when you sin, and you also know when you sin, right? Because you start to hide away. And you start to go and try and find a little hole somewhere so that nobody can find out. But God didn't want people to stay hidden in that place forever. And God doesn't want you to stay there. God is the ultimate gold miner. He's the ultimate, I'm trying to think of something that relates, maybe fisherman, a treasure seeker. God is the ultimate treasure seeker. He's the ultimate gold miner. He will do whatever it takes to make sure that which He's put in you, which is honestly beautiful and wonderful in His sight, His image, He will do what it takes to restore that to Himself. Do you understand that? I mean, God's thoughts towards you are good. God's thoughts towards you are higher than any of your thoughts could ever imagine. God's thoughts towards you are more numerous than the grains of sand on the seashore. God's thoughts towards you are more than the stars in the heavens. Hello? You don't seem to be believing me this morning. Nobody's believing me. I don't know. Is there anyone, Rita? I'm going to preach to Rita. In fact, I'm going to come visit you, Rita, and I'm just going to preach with you. Everything, I'll tell you. Does it excite you? Does it excite you that He held nothing back to come after you? I mean, there was the devil standing in the way. Jesus didn't crouch at that. There was death in the way. There was sin in the way. There was a cross in the way. There was a sacrifice that had to be paid. Jesus did it for us. That's honestly, nobody's ever done that for me except Jesus. Nobody's ever said they would die for me. When the trouble comes, people run away. Hello? The ones who said, I'll be there for you till the end. Where are they? Our hearts are so fickle because the minute it looks like we're not going to get anything out of it, we ditch every promise we've ever made. That's just the nature of man, isn't it? I mean, there's some godly people that stick to their promises. But Jesus did not let anything come in His way of rescuing you and me. And you know, it's like the lifeguard that dives into the sea when someone's drowning and does everything he can to get that person back onto the boat, even if it means drowning himself. We've heard those kind of stories. That's what Jesus did for us. The value of your soul, the value of your life, is too precious to Him. It's too wonderful to Him for it to be lost and for it to be covered up in sin and shame and darkness. Hello? So God wants to bring us out. God wants to put us on display as His treasure before the world. And so He wants to do a very good cleansing work with us here today. So, I'm going to turn, we're turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 44 to 46. And I trust you catch the heart of God today for you, but then I trust that you would have a resolve in your heart. I trust that you would make a decision in your heart. I trust that you would do a little bit of self-evaluation. I'm not into belly gazing. I know we need to stare at Jesus, because when we look at Jesus, He changes us, right? But I tell you, if you've got Jesus today, if you love Jesus today, it is a good thing for us to evaluate our response to that great and mighty King. Hello? It is a very good thing for us to determine, how am I committing my heart and my life to what Jesus has done? How am I serving? How am I giving my life? How am I walking with Him? Have you considered your walk with God? Have you considered your faith? Have you considered the things that happen in your life and where you turn to the minute it goes sour? Have you considered your response? I want us to really dig a little bit deeper today to find out, wow, God, if there's a supernatural response that you can grant us, please, I'm asking you for that. You know, my deepest desire for us as a church is to be revived. Hello? My deepest desire is for revival to come. And God has to start with the church. And you know, when we, you might be a new person here today, and you see people passionately singing love songs to God, that might seem pretty weird if you don't even believe in God. Right? It might seem quite odd. But the world needs to see a people that are passionately in love with the only thing that's worth loving. But this is the response. I want us to check this morning, please. I want you to just do a little bit of self-evaluation and ask God, Lord, what is my response looking like? Does my response move anything in heaven? Or does my response move anything in hell at all? Somebody once did that preach. You know, when Paul was casting out demons. Yes, there are demons, and they do get cast out. But Paul was casting out demons. And these guys, these other priests who knew nothing about Jesus, they were watching this thing and they thought, well, we can also do that. So they found a demon-possessed guy and they said, come out of the man in the name of Jesus, the one Paul talks about. No genuine relationship and authority and understanding of who Jesus is for themselves. Just seeing something, somebody else use a name and they think we're going to use a name. And the guy with the demons jumped on seven of them and stripped them all of their clothes, and they all went running away naked. That's a good session of deliverance right there. And the demon said this. He said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? And took them all out. Are you known in heaven? Are you known in hell? And I want to ask, what kind of response does the response that you bring in worship before God, the praise and adoration of Him, the passion inside of you for anything that He desires, and everything inside of you for one thing, Him alone, and to forsake everything else, and to give everything you've got for Him, does that scare any demon anywhere? Because if it doesn't, then we need to look a bit deeper. Hello? I think our passion has waned. I think our passion has been watered down by the world. I think our exposure to the things that we're involved with in this world and on TV and on Twitter and on whatever else comes our way, our exposure to so much has caused a wholehearted devotion to Jesus to be lacking. Are you with me? I'm speaking to myself here. I'm not saying this like I've got it. I know how far short I am of a wholehearted commitment to God. And I'm going to try my best, but I don't want it to be something out of my own thing. That's why I'm asking. There needs to be a natural joy that we see that God is more precious than anything else. But it has to be a supernatural thing because we cannot see it if God doesn't help us see it. And we cannot even respond to it unless God fills our hearts to respond to it. Hello? We come to church and we're like, it's all about me. And I didn't get this. And I didn't get that. But we're not serving. And we're not giving. And we're not saying, Brad, I'll give my tithe twice over. Hello? Ah, no, we have to pay for coffee. Oh, well, I've got to go to a life group. And to be in that church, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Don't do a single thing for this church. Can I ask you? But do everything for Jesus. If you're going to see Jesus and His beauty, then love the people that He loves. And serve the things that He has set up. This us here coming together here. It's not our idea. It's God's idea. And it's worth something, isn't it? So let's check our responses today. I'm trusting that this is going to stir us. I've been so challenged in this last week, man. There's so much inside my heart. I've been so challenged. I've been challenged to deal with my own sin. I've been challenged. I've been confessing everything I can. To my wife, to John, to be free. So that I can walk in a place of absolute infatuation with Jesus. Anything else is a stupid waste of life. Because everything else is going to disappear. But Jesus will remain. So what's the use of spending our whole life on stuff that's going to get burnt up and useless? Are you with me? Do you want to spend your life to have a certificate on the wall that some moth will eat? Hello? Or do we want to spend our lives putting treasure in heaven where no rot, no moth, no rust, no nothing can come and steal it? What's the treasure in heaven, folk? Look around you. There's gold and silver. That's what God wants in heaven. Hello? When you walk into Joburg and you see people and the JSE and the stock exchange gunning after gold, running after gold and the gold price, that's nothing compared to the gold in those 1,000 stockbrokers that are standing there living their lives for nothing. Hello? Let's do what we have to do in the world, but let's use it all for one thing, for treasure in heaven. When you're pouring a cup of coffee there, Bruce, you're doing it for the treasure in heaven. When you're playing on the bass there, Denver, you're doing it for the treasure in heaven. When somebody, when Jombo brings a word, she's bringing it for the treasure of heaven. When somebody's helping at the gates, opening, when you see Johannes, who stands there early in the morning at 8 o'clock, and he's holding that remote for some of you to arrive, he's doing it for the treasure of heaven. Hello? When it's a life group in the midweek, it's for the treasure of heaven. When it's giving of yourself, when it's sacrificing, not sacrificing your tithe, but going over and above, when just giving of everything you are, that's for the treasure of heaven. When you're living a righteous life at school, when you're living a testimony in your business and your workplace, when you're loving your children and you're loving your wife, husbands, that's treasure of heaven. Hello? Who wants to live for that treasure? That's the only treasure worth living for. Everything else needs to serve that. Because people are throwing their marriages away, throwing their children away, throwing their health away, throwing their lives away for the treasure of earth. And it's going to be useless. All right. Let's get a bit less strong. Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. And Father God, I pray today, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, for your working here. I pray it wouldn't be me trying to cheer up people like a cheerleader. But God, I only know how to respond by your Spirit in one way. And I ask you, Father God, for every person in this place to respond to your Spirit and to your work in every one of our hearts. And to take stock about what life is really all about. And to take stock about what you're really all about. Because the days are numbered, oh God. The times are numbered, oh God. There's a limit to what's left on this earth. But Lord God, the rewards with you are limitless, boundless. I ask you for a fresh revelation of this in Jesus' name. Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. The parable of the kingdom treasure, hidden treasure. I shared that last week. I'm going to share it again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one of great value, went and sold everything he had and bought that one. Gee, the kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like that. What would you do for the most valuable thing that you could ever find? What would you do? I know what some of you have done for what you thought was valuable. I know what some of you have given up for what you thought was valuable. I know you know that I was standing at 6 o'clock in the morning for my iPhone 6 in that queue. Because when that iPhone came out, I wanted to be the first one to have one. Now the thing's scratched and brightness and dirty and it's got stickers stuck on it. And it's just an iPhone. But I went early in that morning to stand in that queue so I could have an iPhone. What are you willing to do for what you think is valuable? When Sharissa walked into that prayer meeting on that day and I saw, my God, God is presenting to me, that will be your wife. I said, yes, please, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And when the time came when we were courting, I would do anything for her. Because she's valuable. She used to stay on the West Rand in Krugersdorp. I was here in the north. I would drive there, no problem. Any traffic, whatever, man. I'll sit an hour in traffic just so I can have 5 minutes with her. Hello? Who was it in the Bible? Jacob. For 7 years he worked for Rachel and he got Leah. And so for another 7 years he worked for Rachel and he got Rachel. And it says it was like a few days because he loved her so much. Hello? What are you willing to do for the thing that you value so much? You know, when we adopted little Ethan and Bethany, man, you know, when we wanted a baby, 8 years we tried. We couldn't have a baby. We were willing to do anything. I tell you, you think about what you're going to sell so that you can just have a medical procedure. But God showed us the treasure in adoption. And we would do it. It was like, this is so beautiful, we'll do it again. We'd adopt it twice. People thought we were crazy. But you know what? You do crazy things when you want something valuable. Isn't that right? You do crazy things like drive to Krugersdorp. You do crazy things like stand in a queue. You do crazy things like adopt again after 1 year. Because you find something valuable, folk. What have you been doing to get hold of something valuable? I want you to know, the kingdom of God is very, very precious. What makes a Manny Pereira? What makes a Chris Godlinson, who got back last night and he's safe and sound and everything's good? Or night before last, I've said to him, take a break and go spend it with your pregnant wife. Don't come to church this Sunday. Go and just relax. And he can have a good time with his wife. He's going to tell you some stories next week, folk. They didn't tell us everything that happened while they were there. Hello? Do you know that? We only got the messages, oh wow, it was so great. Ooh, we're having a great time. There were grenades going off 100 meters away from them. Hello? If they had told us that, are you crazy? Are you crazy to be there? Come on, get on a flight now. You've got a pregnant wife at home. But what's it for? It's for the sake of the kingdom. And it's for sake of, and you will let Chris tell you how many people got saved in that place. And how many people have given their hearts to Jesus. And how many of those hearts were ripe and ready because they were scared of what was going on around them. And someone came from South Africa, from comfortable, wonderful Joburg, to that place to tell them it's going to be okay. You do crazy things when something's valuable. Like dance. Like sing with all your might. Like shout out Jesus' name till your voice goes hoarse. Crazy things. The two parables are interesting because one man is not searching for a treasure. He stumbles across it and finds it and sells everything he has in order to have it, right? But the other man knows exactly what he wants. The treasure, the merchant of the pearl, he knows what a good pearl looks like. He knows a perfectly round pearl, a big pearl, a pearl with a rose glint luster to it. That pearl that hasn't got any scratches on it, a perfect pearl, a pearl that's spent hundreds and maybe thousands of years growing in a huge clam somewhere, in a huge oyster. He knows that's the pearl he's searching. A merchant is somebody who would get on ships and travel far and wide in search. And he would do whatever he could, craziest stuff. And when he finds that pearl of great price, he sells everything to have it. That's the kingdom of God, folk. Are you willing to sell everything to have that pearl? Now, not everybody regards the kingdom of God with such passion. And we see scriptures like this. Let me read for you in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 11. It says, "Judge not, that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there's a log in your own eye?" That's funny, eh? There's Jesus. Jesus used jokes. That's a joke. It's funny. Don't you think? Jesus using, what's the word? Hyperbole. Yeah. Just don't go look for a speck in your brother's eye when you've got a log in your eye. Imagine an oak walking around the log. Everybody can see a log. And it says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you can see clearly for the speck in your brother's eye." To take the speck out of your brother's eye. Then it says this, don't give dogs what's holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and they attack you." So, something in the kingdom which is wonderful is for people to have specks removed from their eyes. I mean, if you've got something and you're not clearly seeing the kingdom of God, you're not clearly seeing Jesus, you've got just something, you know, it's catching your eyes, bothering you, you know, when you get something in your eye, it's terrible. It's a good thing to take it out. So it's a great thing to take it out. But I can't change and give you a love for the kingdom of God unless I've got one. I can't tell you you're not loving Jesus unless I'm loving Jesus. So I've got to remove the thing that I've got to deal with myself before I deal with others, right? Otherwise, the true value of the kingdom, you're trying to tell somebody, look, you really need to repent of your sins, because that's a valuable thing. Hello? Repentance of sin is a lovely thing. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, you're talking about sin and repentance. You know? You heard that thing. Repaint, use sinners. Sorry, it's a dwarf joke, man. Repent, use sinners. Use what? Repaint, use sinners. Okay, so, what the heck? I'm totally lost now. I don't know where I was. Sheepers. Yeah, there's truth, there's value and truth in the kingdom. It's a wonderful thing to tell people about Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to live in the freedom of Jesus. We partake this morning of the blood poured out for forgiveness of sins and the body broken for us. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. And we want the world to have it, right? We want Joburg to be revived, right? We want God to have the treasure of the thousands and thousands and millions of people in our city that don't know Him. Right? But how are they ever going to accept the pearls if we don't love the pearl of great price? Because if we go to them and we say, "Come and serve Jesus," all we're going to be doing is throwing pearls before pigs. They'll trample on it and maybe attack us. So the work has got to start, yeah. The love for Jesus, His kingdom, has got to start with us. It's got to be so burning within us or no one else will burn for it. Jesus starts with his disciples. He starts with you and I. He's calling us, remove the logs, remove the things that are causing people to reject the kingdom. Hello. Let's do a deep work. Let's say, God, come. Come and have your way within us. There's two ways you can respond to the great pearl. The first one is indifference. You know, when Jacob was cooking stew, it says in Genesis 25, verse 29 to 34, Jacob was cooking stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of the red stew, for I am exhausted. Therefore his name was called Edom. I think it means red, Edom. Jacob said, sell me your birthright now. Your birthright. You know the birthright. The firstborn son was entitled to a double inheritance from the father. And every other son got what was left. Hello? A birthright. The birthright. You were the chosen son in a family. You had privileges and amazing, amazing things would come your way. Great reward. The best of everything your father, in this case Isaac, the best of everything that Isaac got from Abraham, the best of all of that would come to Esau. A double portion before Jacob got some. So Jacob is conniving. He sees this opportunity. He says, gee, the guy looks very hungry and I've got a bit of stew here. It's like lentil soup. Like a packet of Royco. Okay, let's put it down. He's got a packet of Royco boiling on the stove. I know you're going to drink a lot of that now these next few days. He says, I'm about to die. Of what use is my birthright to me? Oh, Lord. Jacob said, swear to me now. So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and Royco. And he ate, and he drank, and he rose, and he went away. And Esau despised his birthright. Folk, the enemy wants to offer us quick fix, little solutions, little quick get over, little something nice for a moment. But he's wanting to rob from us the pearl of great price. So I'm going to offer you a fake little pearl. I'm going to offer you a little plastic, a little blue plastic pearl. You can find it on a little dolly. Little blue plastic pearl. Yeah. Do you want that? When there's a pearl of great price coming your way, the enemy will throw whatever he can so that you can fall for that stupid little thing. If a pearl of great price is for you to have a virgin husband and wife at that altar, just declaring a vowed love to one another and going after that day that they've declared that and going off to their first night together and they're both virgins and they give each other to each other, that's a pearl of great price, man. This world doesn't see that as a pearl of great price. It says, yeah, take a fake pearl and give it away to the first boy who says, I love you so much. There's pearls of great price that the enemy is robbing us of day by day by day. When we fall for the sin and we fall for the sickness and we fall for all the junk that the enemy passes to us. He says, yeah, just give up the birthright and have this little moment of soup. I bet you he was still very hungry when he got up. He was famished. Royco doesn't do it for me. I don't know about you. I'm like, babe, is there another one? And the most amazing thing, and probably the most shocking thing of all is this. God referred to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? The firstborn sons, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God would have referred to himself. He would have placed within his name. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. God would have called himself by that man's name. And he decided his sonship and his linking in and connectedness to God was worth Royco. Hello? God wants to have you linked into his name. the name of Jesus. He wants, when people look at you, they're going to see God's name on you. When people look at you, they see that is a Christian. That person, those children are growing up with the name of Jesus on them. Do you have the name of Jesus imprinted upon you? Or would you give that name up just for a night at a bar? Or just for a doff night at a casino? Or whatever it is. And God removes His name. I don't want that kind of inheritance to be lost from any of us, fuck. Just over a little satisfying little moment, little quick fix. Listen to this. Hebrews 12, verse 14 to 17. It says, strive for peace. When you've tasted a little bit of God, who has had a little taste of God, right? The Word of God says, taste and know that the Lord is good. When you've had just a little bit of God, how many of you, let me ask this question, how many of you were looking for God when you got saved? That's not me. I wasn't looking for God. I was blasphemous. The last thing I wanted was anything to do with God. Used to rip off the oaks if they went to some church and came back and the next week they were just smoking pot again. I was like, thank you very much. I was upset at God. I was like, how can a good God just see my whole family destroyed like that? I was really angry at God. That, if you wanted, one of the big sins in my life is this root of anger. And it was an anger at God. I was angry at Him. And when Jesus saved me, and He just declared His love for me. No matter how much I hated Him, He loved me. I broke down and cried and cried and cried for a week. Because I realized the one I hated loved me so much. Totally changed my life. That's it. I was like, Lord, I'll give you everything's for you now. You know what I was like towards you? You were opposite spirit. You loved me while I was like that. So I wasn't looking for God. Some of you might feel the same thing. Somebody brought you somewhere, you're like, okay, let me go to church or let me go to that thing. Or, and you didn't really want to go, you know, maybe the Alpha course or whatever the case may be. And you went and you found something amazing. Hello? Because actually God was looking for you. He was searching you out. He knew the treasure was inside, but you were wandering around like a lost sheep, not seeking God. And when God finds you, and when God grabs a hold of your heart, it's the most wonderful find on the face of the planet, because then you're willing to give up everything you have, right? I've stopped snorting cocaine that week. I stopped smoking pot, stopped drinking, stopped all that stuff, just stopped. I made a declaration that day, I would not pursue a woman, and would not chase after a woman the way I used to until God shows me my wife. And that's how He did it with Sharissa. 2 years down the line, I said, that's your wife. And even then, I didn't chase after it. I left it for 6 weeks, 6 months, sorry, not 6 weeks, felt like 6 weeks. I left it for 6 months because I wanted to know it was absolutely God. And when the day I took her out for a coffee, then coffee, dinner, married within a year. We were married within a year. I was like, God showed me you're the one. You go find out if I'm the one. If it is, we get married now. I'm not playing around. That's a treasure. I'm willing to give up everything else on the face of the earth for that one. But now, that's God finding me. That's me finding a treasure. That's finding a treasure in a field. Whoa, look at that. Sell everything you got. But when you've tasted a little bit of God, when you've had who's experienced the Spirit of God just touch them? Hello? Who's had a moment of goosebumps? Who's just experienced something where it's just like, wow, God, you're so real. How many of your lives have been completely ruined now? Completely ruined. Because now all you want is that again. I'm addicted to that. One shot, one in a vein, and that's me. Give me that. Give it to me. Where is it? Eh? There's no one besides Jesus. There's nothing like Jesus. Once you've tasted Jesus, once you've tasted His Spirit, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I hope that you would taste Him. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm telling you, if you want something to ruin your life completely, then get a taste of Him. The minute you've got a taste of Him, you are ruined for anything else. And everything else on the face of the earth, it pales in comparison to a love and a passion for Jesus. I cry now. I seek Him. I tell you, I know there's nothing that can satisfy me like Him. I want to sit in the sun with God. I want to sit with Him. I want Him. I want to know He's real. I've felt His embrace around my shoulders. I have felt God put His hand upon me just in amazing ways. I want you to have that. I want everyone here to have that. If you've tasted it, sell everything you've got to get it. So how do we sell everything we've got, folk? Three things and we're done. You know what's amazing? The Bible says this, that the 12 gates of the city in heaven, when that city comes out of heaven and is rests upon a new earth, and we will live again on a new earth with these bodies, revived and restored and glorified. When that new heaven comes, it says this. You've heard all the jokes about the pearly gates. And when you rock up at the pearly gates and St. Peter's there, it's not, it got nothing to do with what's in the Bible. Except this, that the 12 gates of the city of God, one of those gates is made out of one pearl. The entire gate. And we're not talking about a little 90 centimeter gate. Yeah, little plus hecky. We're talking about gates, men, that nations can walk on golden streets into those gates. And one of those gates is made out of one pearl. Imagine the size of that pearl. It's like the moon. Hello? I mean, this beautiful thing. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl merchant who found one of great value. There it is, on the gates of heaven. And sells everything he has to have that pearl. Will you live for that pearl of great price, of great value? Will you live for the gates of heaven? Will you live so that throngs and throngs of nations can go through those gates? Hello? Anyone? Is that worth it? How do we sell everything? Four things. To sell all means you have to stop certain things that you're doing right now. And I mean repentance from some sin. In fact, all sin. There's guys that are addicted to porn, and you've got to stop it now. I can't tell you to consider. I don't know how to tell you apart from this that the pearl of great price is more valuable than that thing. Hello? And if you stuck it with that thing, you need to get your eyes back on the beauty of that pearl and forsake it and sell everything. Sell your phone, sell your iPad, sell your whatever so that you can be free. That's what it's going to take. Adulterous thoughts. Maybe there's a lady here who's been having thoughts of another man. You have to get rid of that thing. Reject it. It's not a pearl of great price. It's a fake blue dolly pearl. And it's designed to take away your whole inheritance and your whole future and your whole life. We've got to quit with sin. I'm talking to myself here, Brad Lane. When I was preparing this message and the things and the messages that some of the intercessors have been praying and getting and things, I've been saying, God Almighty, if there's sin in the camp, if anybody is involved in adulterous affairs, if anybody in this place is involved in stealing and robbing, if anyone in this place is just doing anything that is so anti-God and the Spirit of God has been arresting your heart, but you've been resisting God's Spirit and you've been doing it again and again and again, today, I say, is an opportunity for you to change, to repent, to be free, and to stop, and to sell and get rid of that thing for the pearl of great price. You hear my voice. And if you need to, come and talk to someone, come and repent, come and tell me or John, or go and speak to someone, speak to your husband, speak to your wife, so that you may be free. Because God wants to revive us, and God wants to save Joburg, but He can't while we're holding on to fake pearls. We've got to get rid of that thing. Because He wants to bring His presence and His Spirit. So the prophetic word over this church is, you will be known for the presence of God. But the presence of God comes when there's repentance. Please don't let there be sin in the camp. Please abhor sin and hate evil and love God. Can I ask you? Amen? It's a liberating thing. The second thing you've got to do is you've got to surrender yourself. It's not just stopping sin, but it's surrender your whole self to God. Don't surrender half past 9 to 11 o'clock on Sunday. Surrender 24 hours, 7 days a week, 50 however days a month, 365 days a year. Surrender. Surrender. Stop fighting. Stop having a bone to pick. Stop arguing. Stop wanting to force your issue. Stop wanting to judge and criticize. Stop being ugly. We are Christians. Surrender yourself. Give over yourself. Humble yourself. Offer yourself. Hello? That's how you sell everything for the pearl of great price. The third thing you do is, so it's get rid of sin. Surrender yourself. The third thing is sacrifice. Sacrifice, folk. Sacrifice means that which is beautiful to you, which even God has given you, you're willing to give up for the sake of the pearl of great price. A tithe is not a sacrifice, folk. A tithe is a 10% which belongs to God. A sacrifice is when you go beyond that. I need to let you know, church, that the finances in the church are not good. It looks like we've got a lot of money here, but things are not good. We've seen a dip in the tithes. We've seen a dip in the offerings that is hurting. If we need to change and start, if I need to go find a job, then I'll do it. John, we want to see God take us to the next level, but it's going backwards. I'm not asking for a gift to Nepal now. I'm not asking for an alpha course or for something amazing, and you guys have been so generous in giving, but I'm asking you to consider, if you're willing to sell everything for the sake of the pearl of great price, then consider how you give for the sake of the kingdom to carry on over here. Because we cannot do this without money. I'm telling you, we could do without the money, but then the lights will be off. And there won't be gas in the heaters, and you won't have full-time staff who can shepherd you at any call. I'm asking. I don't know whether it's a desperate plea or not, but it's something I have to put before us. We are in this together, right? If you see yourself as a member of this church, a member of the church is not a pray-in that we did last week. Wonderful to have these families here. Andrew was working on that Sunday. Andrew, so good to have you as a member in the church, my boy. You're blessed. But the pray-in is not the main thing. It's how we commit to this. That's what makes you a member. It's how you come along, and it's how you sacrifice. That's what makes us all a member. And so if you see this as anything good whatsoever, please don't give to it if the pearl of great price isn't here. But if it is, then let's trust the Lord. And folk, I want to see people revived. We want to see people, we want to just see God touch people's lives and see Him heal and restore people. There's many broken people. It's going to mean sacrificing your time. It's going to mean church starts at 9:30, but it's going to mean coming at 8 o'clock to serve coffee. Anyone can do anything. It's going to mean going along to a life group. You know that your Christian life cannot mature just on Sundays. You have to go along and connect in a life group. You have to go and get among other believers. And you have to share your heart and life and let them impact you. That's your Christian life will grow like that. It's like having only one lung working. The rest of your body suffers. It can't breathe. That's what I mean. If you're only coming to a Sunday, that's one lung. Get involved in some kind of community, some kind of connection, some kind of serving, some kind of just sacrifice. It's a big sacrifice. I lead a life group out in Midrand, but I live out in Olivedale. And to put all my kids in there, because I know what they're going to be like the next morning. I know they're going to go crazy because they haven't had their normal bath time, normal sleep time. People, you crazy, Brad? Yes, because I love what I do. Come, kids, we're jumping in the car. Come, babe. Yes, no. She's okay, cool. Off we go. Whoom. Far away. Other people are like, no, I only have a life group if it's in my home. I'd love a life group in my home. Can we sacrifice again, please, Mark? And the fourth thing is this. Jesus said this. He who gives up his life. He who loses his life. He who stops sinning, surrenders himself and sacrifices will gain everything. If you want to secure your life, if you want to secure your things, if you want to secure your future, if you want to secure your family, if you want to secure your marriage, secure whatever it is to come, secure eternity. Jesus says, you secure it by giving it away in this life. Because whatever we give here is eternal reward there. How's that for self-evaluation this morning? Can we stand, please, folk? You're calling us to the cross. God, by your beautiful and Holy Spirit, I ask you for forgiveness of sin. I ask you for forgiveness here of any area of myself, of arrogance or anything like that, oh God, that's not of you. I know this, Lord God, that I am ruined because I want more of you and I want people to know you. And I want to see your Spirit touch thousands of lives and to set people free and to make them well. And Lord, I know that the only way you've given that today is through the church. And Jesus, you saw the treasure in the church. And there's treasure here, oh God. There's treasure here of great price. The future of every single person in this place is glorious. The future of every single person in this place is eternal destiny with God forever in His presence. The future of every one of us here is marked out on a road towards glory. It's a future that's marked out with friends and family, with tears in our eyes. Not of pain, but of joy. Of great joy. It's marked out with sacrifice. Willingly. Giving everything up for the sake of you. Because you gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. I don't want to hold anything back, oh God. I pray for us, Lord. Hold nothing back. We want to be a people that live in the city of Joburg, as tough as it is, as hard as it is, as with all the resistance and all the things that come against us to do what we do, Lord. We want to, at all costs, press on for the pearl of great price. There's no greater price than you, God. There's no greater price than you, Jesus. There's no greater pearl, I mean, and the price is a privilege to pay. I pray, Lord, that you revive us as a church. I pray, God, for revival, yeah. I pray we wouldn't be a religious church. I pray we wouldn't be a lackluster church. I pray we wouldn't be a church without glory, God. But I pray that we'd be a people who love you and adore you and would dance before you. We'd absolutely be in love with you, God, every day of the week. I pray for us, God, that you would revive us, that you'd pour out your Spirit over us, Lord. I pray, God, for the lost. We pray that you would save them. And I pray for every hurt and broken person, you know, that they'd be healed. This is one man's cry. You've seen a little bit of treasure. I can't stop, Lord. And I don't want to stop, Lord. if you're in this place and you see the treasure in Jesus today, are you willing to give up everything for it? Will you give up everything for it? Don't hold on to stuff that's going to tie you down, man. When a ship is sinking, it's a doof idea to hold on to the cannon. Lord, I pray for people, Lord. What we got to let go of, let us let go of right now. I pray, Holy Spirit, just for a supernatural work. That in this place, we've been singing last about 2 weeks ago. We said, break every chain, because there's power in the name of Jesus. You're doing something with us. There are people getting saved here. People are being touched, oh God. And yes, if there's little things we've got to walk through, little deserts, whatever it is. And we know the enemy will try to attack us. Enemies attacking children, attacking families, attacking us. We will not give up and we will not stop. If you've been coming under attack this week, you might have been. I pray against it now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, for a freedom from that thing now. I pray, God, that even if we're going through some of the toughest times that our lives have ever been in, that we would worship God through it. That we would praise God and keep our eye on the pearl. Look at the beauty of the pearl, even in the trouble and in the dirt. When you see the beauty of the pearl, it makes the dirt nothing. And you can carry on. I pray, Lord Jesus, for healing, for your power, for deliverance, for freedom here today, in Jesus' name. I pray we'd get on our hands and knees tonight, tomorrow, early in the morning, wherever it is. God, show us the pearl of great price again. That we, Lord God, would give our lives for that. Which you gave your life for. The ultimate pearl of great price for everyone here is this. Jesus loving his people and his people loving him. And that's what we'll have in eternity. God is the pearl merchant. And when you give your life over to him completely, he gains the pearl. Because he knows the price that you have to pay. But he knows the price that Jesus paid for you. If you're here today and you want to give your heart to Jesus, you haven't done that. You don't know Jesus. You want to say, I want to follow Jesus. If you're here today and you haven't done that, would you just put up your hand? I want Jesus. Anyone here? Anyone for the first time? You want Jesus? You want that pearl of great price? Nobody. Okay. The next prayer is this. Who here would give their whole life so that we can see people getting saved here? What will you give so we can see people getting saved here? Father, help us. Give us your spirit, I pray, Lord. I pray for a touch this week for people, Lord, that as we call on your name, David said, this one thing that I seek, one thing I seek, that I may know you, that I may see you in your holy temple. One thing I seek. Lord, may all our pursuits after everything else in this world be galvanized into one thing. You, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Folks, we're not going to do many announcements, but we want to welcome those that have visited us for the very first time. We don't want to embarrass you, but just give us 1 minute. If you visited us for the first time, I'd like you to please raise your hand. We want to give you a card to fill out so we can get your details so that we can follow you up. We value you. We thank you for coming. If that is you, just raise your hand. We'd like to give you that card. While they're doing that, here we go. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome. Please join us for coffee afterwards. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. Welcome. Just a reminder that there is a kids ministry meeting that is going to be happening right after the meeting if you are involved in that. If you are sitting here and you actually see value in what we do in that hall, great value, and you haven't been invited, I want to invite you right now. If there's a yearning in your heart possibly to get involved, I'm inviting you, go and join them. Go and join them in the hall. There's going to be a little bit of eats for those who want to get involved. I'm inviting you to go across. And those that have been invited, please join them. Also, straight after the meeting, I'd like to just chat with the guys that are going to Hole in the Wall. If we can just meet in the back corner over there. And that's it. Just keep your eyes open. We will be sending out an SMS message, something that's happening in the life of the church. John Mpapule, he's going to be sharing with us. He's on the apostolic team, and he's going to be running a financial course, how we can be free in our finances, how we can live for the kingdom. So just keep your eyes and ears open. We'll share the dates and times for that. John Mpapule will be joining us, and there's going to be a course. There is a cost to that course, so if you're willing to pay that price, come along. We'll be sharing dates and times with you. Next week is going to be Manny. Manny is going to be sharing all his adventures next week. We're going to be away taking the guys to Hole in the Wall. But I want you guys to come. Listen to what is happening in the nations out there. Chris will also be sharing. So next week is going to be a wonderful time. Right. Amen. Thank you, guys. Bless you. God bless you.